Barack Obama has been called the face of a new generation of African-American politicians. Reid, highly educated, post-civil rights, and people who appeal to a mixed political constituency. You might add Newark, New Jersey Mayor Cory Booker to that list. But while Obama has taken broad steps across the political universe, the 38-year-old Booker has chosen a different path. His chosen city is one of the most troubled in America. Is Booker's relationship with the residents who elected him also troubled? Journalist Peter Boyer spent about a month shadowing Booker, and he's with us now. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good day to you.
Yes. Well, let's take a look at Newark. Its problems have existed long before Cory Booker became mayor in 2006. Give us an overview of Newark when he became mayor.
Well, Newark was one of the oldest cities in the country and had been one of the most robust on the East Coast, until just after the Second World War, and pretty much everything started unraveling at once. I mean, the local economy, it had been the most industrialized city in the United States. Several of its key industries left for various reasons. The demography changed. The upheaval of the 1960s came. The riots of 67 happened, and it was downhill on a pretty straight line after that.
Now, like Barack Obama, Booker campaigned on a message of change, but his change was also aimed at, traditional black politics. Tell us about what happened when he ran.
Well, what happened in Newark was after the 67 riots, Newark established itself in a philosophical as well as a demographic way as a black city, which is to say there were elements of black nationalism involved in the election in 1970 of Newark's first black mayor, Kenneth Gibson, who ran City Hall for 2 decades, and he was followed by Sharp James, Newark's second black mayor. And so you had for 40 years these two black mayors of a decidedly demographically black city presiding in much the same corrupt way as their Irish and Italian predecessors had. And what Cory Booker came in and basically said was, corruption is corruption. It has no color. Inefficiency is inefficiency. It has no color. And to confuse the blackness of Newark with the way things always have been is a mistake, and I'm not going to do it. He was, of course, opposed by folks like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and who I think subsequently were discredited because of their opposition.
Now, this whole issue of black authenticity, it's come up a lot in this presidential election. How has Booker handled the charge that he's not black enough?
Well, he has pretty much laughed it off. I mean, there have been a couple of times early on when Jackson called him a wolf in sheep's clothing and so on, when he said it's just, he would make comments like it's ridiculous to wrap yourselves in kente cloth while arguing for the same failed ways and the same failed policies. Sort of along the lines of what one of your previous guests was talking about. But he has pretty much ignored it. And he says there's nothing black about good, there's nothing white about good governance, there's nothing black about corruption and insider dealing and inefficiency, and has tried pretty much so far in his first 18 months to govern that way.
Now, what about crime? I mean, Newark, Cory Booker was on television talking about a horrific shooting of some young people not that many months ago. And how is he dealing with the crime issue?
Well, he dealt with it first and foremost in a way that flew in the face of the accusations that that he wasn't black enough, and the way he could prove that he was black enough was, to some people, was to go appoint a black police director. What he did instead was hold a, he is, at heart a technocrat, and he did what technocrats do. He recognized that crime was probably, and still is, Newark's foremost problem. Everything derives from that. He conducted a nationwide search for the best possible police director. All signs pointed to the success of the New York Police Department during the Giuliani years. So he went east 10 miles and picked probably the top cop in the NYPD, who happened to be a white Irishman from the Bronx. And it caused all manner of upset in Newark, but the two of them press forward, and they are beginning to show some positive results.
At the same time, though, the model of, or at least some of the approaches of New York policing, included some very controversial fatalities, you know, Amadou Diallo and Patrick Dorisman.
Sure.
Do you think there were echoes of that in the outrage by some black citizens over this choice?
Yes, of course there were. Those, as it happens, the particular cop that Booker chose, Gary McCarthy, happened to have a pretty good record on those very issues you just named. In fact, he moved into the precinct in which the Diallo incident had occurred and pretty effectively calmed the waters there. As a matter of fact, some of the Newark City Council came to New York and also spoke with African-American politicians up in Albany about this guy's record and vetted him pretty thoroughly.
Now, let me, we don't have too much time left, so I just want to ask you this. Is this a situation, you've obviously chosen to profile Mayor Booker, is this a situation where he has a political future outside of Newark? Do you see him moving in a direction where he will eventually run for some other office?
I think he absolutely means to, and I think he is one of all politicians brim with ambition, and he is no exception. I think he has chosen for himself a nearly impossible task, and if he manages to pull it off, it's a pretty solid credential.
All right. Peter Boyer, thanks so much.
Certainly.
That was journalist Peter Boyer. He profiled Newark Mayor Cory Booker in the New Yorker magazine's February 4th edition. We spoke with Mayor Booker's office today, and he's declined an interview, saying he was preparing for the State of the City address tomorrow, but his office has kept the door open for a future conversation.